China today could make a giant step toward having a big boy currency. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. But first, why we need to keep an eye on the 10-year Treasury yield this week in particular. Let's consult Quincy Crosby, market strategist at Prudential Financial. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So first week of December, which starts in really just a matter of hours, this is a big week for getting a sense of where interest rates are going in this world.
This is one of the most important weeks for data, for Janet Yellen telegraphing to the market what she is thinking. And also the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, is going to be probably announcing some very important moves for the European Central Bank.
And
you have the OPEC meeting. And remember last year at that meeting, Saudi Arabia basically said, we are going to continue to push oil into the market. So this week is filled from beginning to end.
So the 10-year Treasury yield might be a good way to monitor sentiment as the week goes on. It's not moving much this morning, but you think it could be a more exciting thing to monitor?
The 10-year is very much focused on how the economy is going to move. The 10-year yield typically responds to vehicle sales, to pending home sales, to the beige book. It really is going to have its work cut out for it, and the market will be watching every move in the yield.
Pending home sales in just a matter of minutes here. Quincy Crosby at Prudential Financial, thank you for this.
Thank you so much.
The International Monetary Fund today will officially decide whether to include China's currency, the yuan or the renminbi, in its list of official reserve currencies. These are the currencies the IMF officially uses in its accounting ledger, an elite group of monies that IMF members can swap within the IMF system to make ends meet. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more.
If the IMF says your currency is officially a reserve currency, it means that it's one of the currencies the IMF does business in, loaning money to countries, that sort of thing. And if the IMF does business in that currency, everyone's going to want some on hand.
For Chinese importers and exporters, it makes life a lot easier.
Iswar Prasad is professor at Cornell University and former China head at the IMF. Every country has a stash of dollars and yen and euros and pounds. If they also have a stack of Chinese currency on hand, it makes trading it easier.
If there is more trade, international trade being conducted using RMB, then Chinese importers and exporters, they don't face currency risk because they're either paying for their imports or getting revenues for their exports in renminbi.
Countries can buy Chinese bonds more willingly. That's great for China because China can always print more money to pay them back. But one of the biggest benefits to being a reserve currency, good old-fashioned prestige. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
With the annual number of new cases of Alzheimer's and dementia-related diseases expected to double by mid-century, note this movement by an increasing number of towns and cities. They're branding themselves, this is the term, dementia-friendly. Reporter Catherine Richard visited one town in central Minnesota that is a model for this.
Early on a November morning near Painesville, Minnesota, Linda Mussel is training employees of a local eye care chain to help customers with dementia. She asks the crowd of 25 how many know someone with the disease, and hands shoot up around the room.
So it touches all of us, doesn't it?
Mussel shares some simple rules for helping a customer with dementia. Approach the customer from the front. Use familiar words and...
Never argue with someone with dementia. You will not win.
Mussel is a volunteer with a statewide program meant to make Minnesota's towns accessible for people struggling with the disease. The state has a long tradition of taking the needs of the elderly seriously. In fact, Painesville takes those needs so seriously, it greets visitors with a billboard announcing that it's a dementia-friendly community. Programs offer shopping assistance at the local grocery store, education for first responders, and training for local businesses. Ann Friedrichs, who participated in the training, says helping customers who have dementia is just good business.
When you know a little bit more about a person coming in, it actually gives you, more opportunity to create a comfortable environment for that person.
How does she know who has Alzheimer's? The program has made cards which say, please be patient with my father, mother, spouse, whatever, that caregivers can hand over to sales assistants.
I think it's really all about inclusion.
That's Sam Fazio, who directs constituent services for the Alzheimer's Association. He says the Minnesota model is working so well that the organization wants to adopt it nationwide. Fazio says that the focus needs to be on the family, but also on the community.
How can people with Alzheimer's disease continue to be included, engaged, supported in their communities so that they can function as independently as long as possible?
And there's another plus. Keeping dementia patients independent means keeping them out of nursing homes. And that translates into big healthcare savings. In Painesville, I'm Catherine Richard for Marketplace.
And Russian President Putin today rejected an overture for a meeting with Prime Minister Erdogan of Turkey during the climate change summit that's opening in Paris. The other day, Turkey shot down a Russian warplane it says was flying over Turkish airspace near the Syrian border. In response, Russia has slapped Turkey with economic sanctions that include a ban on Russians vacationing in Turkey. If you miss our on-air discussion of the climate conference, it's in the first Marketplace podcast of the day as well. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.